I want to encourage you, if you don't have that secret place, if you don't have that time with God, you really need to start to develop that. You need to find a place where you can get alone with God and let God work in your heart and work in your life. And it's going to be amazing to watch what He does. It's going to be amazing the peace that He gives, the strength that He gives. I love that song, and I thank God so much for Ron Hamilton and God using him to write that. And of course, now he's in heaven singing with all his might, of course, for the glory of the Lord. But he's written so much good music over the years. Acts chapter number 1 is where we're at. Go ahead and stand with me when you get there. Acts chapter number 1. Again, so good to see everybody in church this morning. So glad everybody has made it. And we are getting geared up and ready to go for our missions conference. As you notice, we got flags all around, and we're going to have a whole lot more flags out later this week, getting geared up for the conference. And we got the whole front end of the church going to look like the United Nations is going to meet with us, and we're going to have international flags everywhere. So praise the Lord for that. We're definitely looking forward to what God's going to do, but we need to get our mindset shifted towards missions and focused on what the Lord would have us to do. And so we are going to talk a lot about missions this morning and the mission of the church, and that's going to be the title of the message, is the mission of the church. Look at verse number 8, if you would, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. We do thank you for the day. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, help us to understand what you'd have us to do. Help us to understand, Lord, what our mission is. The need, Lord, around this world today, the objective that you've left the church here to do, to fulfill. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be able to fulfill that for your honor, for your glory. Teach us your word tonight, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Help us to see the need around us. We'll praise you and we'll thank you for it all. We love you, Lord. We ask these things in your name. We pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. We know this is one of the recordings of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is given 5 different times in your Bible. It's given in Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter number 24, and John chapter number 20 as well. But also here, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. And it says that we are to go both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Over in Matthew chapter number 28, the Bible tells us that we are to go and we are to win them to Christ, we are to baptize them, and then we are to teach them. That is the fourfold method of the Great Commission, to go, to win, to baptize, and to teach, and to disciple them to go and do the same thing. Listen, the mission of the church is not to build radio stations. It's not to build Bible colleges. Although I love Bible college, I went to Bible college, and I understand the need for that. The mission of the church is not to build children homes. It's not to run a food bank. It's not to build daycares. It's not to build Christian schools, although we have those things. Those are ministries for the church. But the mission of the church and the ultimate goal and the agenda for every one of those ministries is to win souls to Christ. Everything that we do in the church points to winning souls to Jesus Christ. The reason we send our kids to church camp, the reason they go to youth conference, the reason we go to men's conference, the reason we go to ladies' conference, the reason we have a missions conference, the reason we have revival, the reason we have all these different ministries, and we even state it in our Christian school handbook, that we are training young people for Christ. That is the goal. That is the agenda. For them to know that they're going to heaven when they die. To win every one of them to Christ. That is the goal. That is what God has left us here to do. And by the way, God's last commandment ought to be the church's first concern. His last commandment to the church was to go out and to reach the world with the gospel. And that ought to be the first concern that we have here in our lives. Again, listen, all these ministries, they're all good things and they all have their place, but they do not take the place of the mission. And the mission is to win souls to Christ. That's what it's all about. We got to make sure that we are involved in reaching people for the glory of God. The church's mission, the church's objective is to reach the world with the gospel. And by the way, it starts here in our Jerusalem. It would be McAllister. It starts in our area. The church is going to have different ministries, yes, but we've got to keep the main thing, and the main thing has to be the souls of mankind. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible tells us over in 2 Peter chapter number 3 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the main goal of the church. Oswald J. Smith, a great evangelist, he said this, "The number one mission of the church is missions. And any church that is not seriously involved in helping to fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist as a church." Now, that's some strong words, but that's the truth and that's the reality. Listen, churches are not just programs where we go and we have a babysitter for a few hours for the parents to go and do different things. The church's mission is to win people to Christ. And we've got to be busy doing what God's called us to do. So how do we get involved in missions? There's three things I want you to notice here this morning. The first way that we get involved in missions here, Jesus Christ told us that we would receive power after the Holy Ghost came upon us and that we would be witnesses. Now listen, the word witness is somebody who can testify to something that has happened personally to them. A witness is one who can testify of an event. They can give a testimony of an event, of an experience, of something that has happened in their life. Listen, we can't be witnesses if we've never first truly trusted Christ ourselves. So here, how do we fulfill the Great Commission and the mission of the church? Number one, we fulfill it by following what Christ illustrated. Number one, we fulfill the mission of the church by following what Christ illustrated. Write these verses down. We don't have time to go to all of them. I've typed them all out. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's Luke 19, verse number 10. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15. The Bible says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." That's 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15. In Luke chapter number 2, when Jesus Christ had left his parents and they had gone away from Jerusalem and they had lost him in a crowd and they came back to Jerusalem to find him and his mother tries to reprimand him while he's there in the temple, he turns around and he tells her, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He said, "I've got to be busy doing what my Father has left me here to do." In John chapter number 4, we see the woman at the well, and Jesus Christ made the statement, "I must needs go through Samaria." Samaria was a place where the Jews did not go. It was a place of what they would refer to as half-breed. They were a mixed race of people. And the Jews would literally, when they had to go from their town up to Galilee, they would literally go all the way around the city of Samaria instead of going straight through it. They would take the long way around just so they wouldn't have to go through the town of Samaria because they were so racist against those people. But Jesus Christ said, "I understand who they are and I know the lifestyle that they live, but I must needs go through Samaria. I've got somebody I've got to share the gospel with." And he made it important to go to places where nobody else wanted to go. Here in Mark chapter 2, verse number 17, Jesus Christ said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus Christ illustrated by everything that he lived that his goal and his agenda was to reach the world with the gospel. Listen, Jesus Christ is not a way of salvation. He is the only way of salvation. He says in John chapter 14, verse number 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And he provided the way of salvation for everybody. As a matter of fact, while he was dying on the cross, in Matthew chapter number 26 and 27, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was still sharing salvation's message. He still had others on his mind while he was dying for all of mankind. His life was all about reaching others. There was a preacher I heard make this statement. I don't remember who said it, but I like what he said. He said, "The Great Commission will take great commitment for great completion." It's going to take great commitment for great completion. Listen, the only way that we can be able to reach the world with the gospel is we've got to commit to doing something. We've got to commit to do the work that God has called us to do. Hold your place here. We're going to come back to Acts. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. This was covered here in Sunday school. I just feel the need to go over it one more time. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit or to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Here they were a very poor church financially, but they were a very rich church in their spirit of giving and their spirit of trying to help other people. Verse number 3, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." Here they were willing to do a work. They gave what they could, and God blessed what they gave, and He did what He could. Amen? And they gave to their power, and Jesus Christ gave beyond their power according to His power. Verse number 4, "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Here, this is a great desire of anybody in the church. Any man of God wants, they want the church to be fully and completely involved in missions. The desire, Brother Throve, and I've had this discussion even back when he was pastoring, the goal is always 100% participation. We want everybody to get involved. We want everybody to do their part. We want everybody to do something for the purpose of reaching the world with the gospel. And the Bible says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Listen, the first thing that we ought to give over to God is ourselves. If you give yourself to God, you won't have a problem giving your pocketbook to God. Amen. You give yourself to God. You put yourself in the offering plate. You surrender your life to God. You surrender your will to God. And you just watch what God will do in your life every single time. I can't tell you how many times in my life, I do it every missions conference, and I've done it every missions conference since I was a teenager. I do it at revivals and different meetings as well. I can't tell you how many times I've given my life to God and told Him, God, if You will send me to the mission field, I'll go. God hasn't sent me. And I pray for those things. We pray for missionaries. We love missionaries. We love missions. We love being involved in missions. But listen, God has somebody to go to different places. And God's going to call those that are willing. And God's going to use those that are willing. We'll see that later on tonight when we get to some different passages of Scripture as well. But here He said they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Verse 6, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. We call it a Faith Promise Missions Commitment, and we call it our Faith Promise Missions Conference. There are some churches, they call it grace giving. They take it from this passage specifically as far as abounding in this grace. I don't have a problem with either name for it. We've chosen Faith Promise Missions as the name that we use, and it's fine and dandy. Somebody wants to call it grace giving. It's all done by the grace of God anyway. It's all done by faith in God anyway. But we're going to trust God to provide the different needs. But notice verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Listen, nobody's going to get up here and tell you and command you to give a specific amount to missions. And Paul even said, I speak not by commandment. But notice what he says, but by the forwardness of others. So here there was a promise that was made by somebody. We'll get to it here. And he says, and to prove the sincerity of your love. There's an old phrase, and I like to use it often. And you've heard the phrase before. Talk's cheap, it takes money to ride the train. Right? Anybody can say they'll do anything. But sometimes we've got to put our money where our mouth is, right? People can talk about doing things all day long. But sometimes we've actually got to actually do something. And here, this is what Paul deals with. Prove the sincerity of your love. Verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice. So now he's telling him, look, I'm not commanding you to do anything, but let me give you some advice based on your forwardness. Look what the Bible says, verse 10. For this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. So here, he refers to the fact that they had a conference a whole year prior. They were forward a year ago. By the way, what did we do last year? We had a Faith Promise Missions Conference. Brother Matt Miller preached the Faith Promise Missions Conference. We had two missionaries that were in. You may or may not remember who they were. It was Brother Mann going to Macedonia. It was Brother Shelby going to Israel. We had them in. Brother Miller was here. And we made a Faith Promise Missions commitment for the whole year of a little over $50,000. Now, currently, if we give what our weekly commitment is, as far as what that was divided out, then by the end of day today, if everybody gives their commitment like they promised, then we will have met our missions goal for the year. Now, that's a great accomplishment, but that's what Paul said to do. Right here, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, the advice that he was given was to perform the doing of it. You were forward a year ago. You made a promise a year ago to perform the doing of that which was promised. And then he says, as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. Here, you're going to hear messages during the Faith Promise Missions Conference, and you're going to hear messages about missions, and your heart's going to be stirred. You're going to see slides on Thursday night and on Friday night and on Saturday evening as well of missionaries. And one missionary is going to be going to Italy. One missionary is going to be going to the prison ministry. One missionary is going to be going to Zambia, Africa. On Sunday next week, you're going to see the slideshow, a compilation of the missionaries that we currently support and the works that are being done with your mission dollars, and your hearts are going to be stirred. That's what the Bible says right here, right? That as there was a readiness to will, your hearts will be stirred by the things that you see, and you're going to make a commitment based on faith that you want to give to missions and you want to provide so that we can be able to support more missionaries around the world, be able to reach more people with the gospel message. And here, as Paul says, now, as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance. He says, you had the readiness, you had the heart, you had the desire. Now you've got to do and act on the things that you have promised. There will be a performance out of that which you have. Verse number 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Here, he had referenced the fact that you give according to what you have. You say, well, how do I have it? I don't have anything at all. You have it by faith. You trust God by faith. You pray by faith, asking God to provide it by faith each and every week. You look for opportunities for God to provide in different ways. I remember when I was a teenager, as a young person, I didn't have a job. I didn't make any money. But my parents gave me money every single week for school lunches. And I remember during a missions conference that God had burned my heart and I wanted to give to missions. I wanted to do something. As a teenager, I committed to give $5 a week to missions. It's like, I don't have a job. I don't have any money. How am I going to do this? Well, my dad gave me $20 every Monday. That meant I had a $2 for lunch. So there's $10 right there unless I chose to fast one day or take my lunch. And then we had a Coke machine. Mountain Dew, praise God. You got to have a Mountain Dew every day. There's a dollar, there's a dollar. I got to pay for Mountain Dew. $15 right there. $10, $5 for Mountain Dew. I got to have a Mountain Dew every single day or I'm not going to survive. It wasn't going to happen. So then I set aside the $5. I was ready to give to missions. Now, I would do all these different things, but I had the money set aside. Why? Because God provided it. You said, no, your parents gave it. No, God provided it. My dad didn't have to give me the money. God laid it on his heart to give me the money. God provided it. Well, what did you do when it became summertime? Well, when it became summertime, somebody in the neighborhood offered me a mowing job. I wasn't even going out looking for a mowing job. I wanted to play video games all summer. I wanted to go play with my friends all summer. But no, he said, hey, I'll pay you if you mow my yard. I'll do it. I need money. And God reminded me, hey, this is a provision for you to be able to give to missions. And guess what? God provided it every single week. God provided every single opportunity. Why? Because by faith, we promised to give something. By faith, we acted on that. We performed the doing of it. And God provided every single time. Here we follow what Christ has illustrated. The church here was burdened with missions. They were burdened. They didn't have the finances to be able to give. They were strapped. All the money that was coming in was going out to all the different things. Sounds very familiar around here, amen? All the money that comes in goes out to all the different things. You say, I don't have any extra money in my budget. Listen, I can't explain how God does it, but when you promise to give it by faith, and you pray and you beg God and you ask God every single week to give you your faith promise missions money, it's amazing to watch how God provides it. And God will use different people in your lives. And God will use many different things. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. God will increase your income in some instances. God will decrease your expenses in some instances. God will work a miracle in your life and just provide money. And then there are times where God will teach you how to live sacrificially and teach you how to live on a budget and to be able to set those things aside so you can be able to serve God to your fullest extent. Here, go back to Acts chapter 1. How can we get involved in the mission of the church? Number one, you get involved by following what Christ illustrated. Number two, you get involved by fulfilling what Christ has instructed. Not only do we get involved by following what Christ illustrated, and Christ illustrated by His life, a life of sacrifice and a life of dedication and a life of commitment to sharing the gospel with everybody. But also, secondly, you fulfill what Christ instructed. Fulfill what He instructed. You say, what does that mean? That means we follow the command that He gave us.
We follow the command He gave. What command did He give us? We just read it. It's called the Great Commission. We go out and we reach the world with the gospel. We go, we win them to Christ, we baptize them, and we teach them, and we disciple them according to the Jesus Christ gospel. Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 19, the Bible says, "And He saith unto them, Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus Christ had told them, listen, if you follow Me, I will teach you how to go out and win other people to Christ. And then again, these were all men who were fishermen. But here Jesus Christ said, you follow Me, and I'll teach you not how to be a fisherman, but how to be a fisher of men. How to go out and find those. Listen, you know how to bait it up, and you know how to cast a net, and you know how to draw in the fishes and feed people. Listen, I'm going to teach you how to draw in the people and feed them spiritually. So I'm going to teach you these things. And here in the Word of God, we see Christ's desire and Christ's plan to reach everybody with the gospel message. By the way, in Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, we are told and we are commanded to preach the gospel to every creature. And Jesus Christ wants us to preach to absolutely everybody, regardless of race, color, or creed, regardless of nationality, regardless of what any kind of preconceived or racist ideology that we've been indoctrinated with here in the Western Hemisphere. Regardless of all those things, we're to reach everybody with the gospel. Meaning this, if you were alive back in the 40s when World War II was happening, and you had an opportunity to meet Adolf Hitler, God's will is for us to share the gospel with him. Are you listening? Meaning in the day and age that we live in today, you find one of the worst people in all the world, Vladimir Putin or Zelensky over in Ukraine or what's Rocket Man over in North Korea over there. The other North. Kim Jong-un. Or the president of China, Xi Jinping. If you had an opportunity to meet them, our job, our responsibility is to share the gospel with them. Now that's a tall task. That means the terrorists that have come to our country and attacked our country, our job is to share the gospel with them. That means those who are here illegally, our job is to share the gospel with them. It's getting quiet in here, people. Our job is to share the gospel with them. That's our responsibility. That's what Christ has left us here to do. We could sit and complain about all the different things that are going on in our world today, but are we doing what Christ has left the church here to do? We're here to fulfill what Christ has instructed. You say, what did He instruct us? Look at verse number 8 again. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto Me both. That means at the same time. In Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Here, there are four different locations that are given. I want you to recognize the importance of all four of these locations. Here, Jerusalem, we can define this as being those who were unreceptive. Over in Matthew chapter 23, verse number 37, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. Jerusalem was known for killing God's men. Jerusalem was known for rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, when Jesus Christ came to the earth, they tried at every turn to stone Him and to kill Him. Jerusalem was unreceptive to the gospel. We need to be willing to go to places that are unreceptive to the gospel. You realize there are 196 countries in the world today, and there are many of those countries that are closed and unreceptive to the gospel. But our burden, our desire, our vision ought to be able to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, well, the door's closed and nobody can get in. Then we just need to move on and focus on somebody else. No, there's somebody that can get in that place. Yes, they may not accept a white American, but they can accept somebody of their own nationality. We got to win them and send them. So everybody needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here, Jerusalem would be the unreceptive. That'd include all those in our town that close the door in our face. Amen. Those that are unreceptive. Those that you give them a track and they walk off and rip the track and throw it in the air. I've had that happen several times. And when it happens, you ought to still reach them with the gospel message. They're unreceptive. Here, Judea, this would be defined as those who were unworthy. Jerusalem were those who were unreceptive. Judea are those who are unworthy. Judea was a land that was barren. Judea was a land that was a wilderness. Here, it was unworthy. Here, it couldn't grow anything. Here, nothing was inhabitable in that area. But it was a place where there were people that lived and people were surviving and people still needed to hear the gospel. Listen, it doesn't matter what you think of anybody, regardless of who they are. It doesn't matter how unworthy you may think they are. Everybody needs an opportunity to hear the gospel message. Don't ever forget the pit that you were digged out of in Psalms chapter number 40. Don't ever forget where God found you. And don't ever forget what God saved you out of and what God saved you from. Regardless of what you think about anybody, nobody is to the point to where they're unworthy for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is willing to save everybody. By the way, in all reality, we're all unworthy. But somebody shared the gospel with us. Why? Because at the foot of the cross, the ground's level. Everybody needs Jesus. Here we have the unreceptive. Here we have the unworthy. In Samaria, I shared with you a minute ago, Samaria was an area of racial division, an area where there's a racial barrier, there was a cultural prejudice. Samaria would be labeled as those who were unwanted. Those who were unwanted. Nobody wanted the Samaritans around them. No, listen, the Jews hated the Samaritans so much that they wouldn't even go and draw water at the same time as them. That's why the Samaritan woman was there by herself. She couldn't go when all the other Jews were there. She couldn't go when everybody else there was there. She couldn't go and have all the fellowships. She couldn't have all the opportunities. She was unwanted by everybody in society. The great evangelist C.T. Studd made this statement. He said, some wish to stay within the sound of a church or a chapel bell. He said, I'd rather run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. He said, I want to go to where the people are. I want to go and find people for Jesus Christ. Was it not William Booth who started the Salvation Army? He said, you go for souls and you go for the worst. Because they're the ones that realize they need Jesus the most. We got to go to where people... Listen, just because somebody may be tattooed up and just because somebody may look like they fell into their granddaddy's tackle box, just because somebody may look like the world and act like the world doesn't mean that we ought to reject them with the gospel. Everybody needs Jesus Christ. Everybody. But sadly, we want to judge people by how they look. Sadly, we want to think just because somebody's got a different color hair or just because somebody's got something else going on in their lives, just because somebody's dressed a certain way, that they're not going to want the gospel. I'm not going to take the gospel to them. Oh, they're over here in a suit. I'm going to go give gospel to them. They've got money. Listen, that's not how we operate. I can care less who has what. The reality is everybody needs Jesus. It's not about what people have. It's about what they need, and they need Jesus. Here, we're to go to those who were unresponsive to the gospel. We go here, or unreceptive, we go to those who were unworthy of the gospel. We go here to those who were unwanted with the gospel. And then it says to go to the uttermost parts of the world. This is those who are unreached. Those who are unreached. Untold millions are still untold. Realize that. Listen, we have 8 billion people in this world today. 8 billion people. We have 18,500 in the city of McAllister. Brother Nick, back in November, Brad, we went to Oklahoma City, went to the Paycom Center. There was over 18,000 people in the Paycom Center while we were there watching the Thunder play. You could fit all of McAllister inside the Paycom Center. Literally. We have 18,500. They had over 18,000 there in that Coliseum, in that area. The vast majority of them without the gospel. You can look around. It doesn't matter where you go. You turn the television on. You watch the Olympics. You watch the NASCAR. You watch any kind of sporting event, and you just see thousands upon thousands of people in the stands and stadiums. Brother, Mr. Rowe, y'all went to Daytona back during y'all's retirement trip. Had an opportunity to see the massive stands and just the massive curvature of the place. But that place is packed out with people. It was last week. Many of them rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we just go throughout our day like nothing bothering us. We go throughout our life like nothing matters. The reality is they're going to die and go to hell if they die without Jesus Christ. These are the unreached. It's been stated this, in the last 40 years, over 1 billion people have died who have never heard the name Jesus Christ. In the last 40 years, around 30 million people are going to die this year without ever hearing a clear message of the salvation. Let that sink in.
about 30 million people. Listen, Oklahoma only has 4 million people in it. 30 million people. That's 8 times. That's 7.5 times the size of the state of Oklahoma. That amount of people are going to die without the gospel this year. All this while, we're spending all our extra money on Starbucks and McDonald's and going out to eat when we can sacrifice. Listen, not having a cheeseburger in town is not really a sacrifice. Not, my wife loves Taco Bell, but not going to Taco Bell is not really a sacrifice. I mean, you're not getting much anyway, okay? All right. We all you get a whole lot more in a home-cooked meal. Everybody say amen right there. You get a whole lot more. But the reality is, sacrificing and not going to those places really isn't a sacrifice. Yes, you keep yourself from doing those certain things, those certain privileges, those certain exciting events. Why? So that you can be able to give so somebody can hear the gospel. Instead of going out to eat, we can choose to give to missions. You do realize that in America alone, we spend more money on dog food a year than we do on global missions. Listen, I got two dogs. I understand. Dog food's not cheap. And we go through a lot of it. And no, I'm not talking about my kids. I'm talking about my little fur puppies. Okay. They go through their own amount of food too, amen? But the reality is, we spend so much on things that really don't matter. You say, but I love my dog. Listen, your dog will survive long before it ever got domesticated. It's okay. Your dog will find ways to eat. I promise you. The reality is we need to share the gospel with everybody we can. How can we fulfill the mission of the church? I know some of you are looking at me crossways now. You're speaking evil of my dog. God's going to take care of you. I'm going to get you, preacher. Yeah. I guess what the, isn't that what the wicked witch said? Get you, my little pretty little dog too. Something like that. I don't know where that came from. Praise God. Moving on. The mission of the church. Let's get spiritual. How do we get involved? We got to follow what Christ illustrated. Secondly, we've got to fulfill what Christ has instructed. And thirdly, lastly, we've got to finish what Christ initiated. We've got to finish what Christ initiated. What did Christ start when he came here to this earth? He started and he established the local church. He started the church with the agenda of reaching the world with the gospel. I preached a message several weeks ago about the greater works that God has told us that we could do. In John chapter number 14, Jesus Christ has told us that we can do the works that He's done and that we can go and do greater works as well. You do realize that when Jesus was here on earth, He never went outside of 30 miles of His hometown. But we have an opportunity at the click of a button, at the move of a mouse, we got the opportunity to talk to somebody on the other side of the world in an instant. And we don't take advantage of the opportunity. We neglect it and we waste away. We got to finish what Christ has initiated. Here, what did He initiate? Look at verse 8 again. But ye shall receive power. When are we going to get the power? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Here, He has given us His Holy Spirit. He's given us His Spirit. This is what He's initiated. He's given us the Spirit of God to live inside of us to go and share the gospel with everybody around us. Listen, time after time again, when Paul had written the letters to the churches, he's asking them to pray for him that he would have the boldness to go and to preach the gospel. Where did the boldness come from? It didn't come from himself. I don't think, Brother Nick, I don't think he desired to go into Lystra and to get stoned. I don't think he desired to get shipwrecked. I don't think, I don't think he desired to get beaten with rods. I don't think that was in the flesh what he wanted to do. But in all reality, he went and he did all of that. How did he have that boldness? It wasn't the flesh. The flesh would have been restraining and said, look, bud, I've been there before. We've been to that city. We know what's going to turn out. But the Holy Spirit of God pressed inside his heart and said, you've got to go and share the gospel with them. They need Jesus Christ. This is why we've got to be willing to go. We've got to pray for the boldness. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, and the Holy Spirit of God will give you the boldness. The Holy Spirit of God will give you the peace. The Holy Spirit of God will give you the strength to do the things that you don't want to do. But it'll also give you the opportunities. Why do you think we have a missions guard? Why do you think we're going to have missionaries in? Why do you think we invite them to come in? Because we need to have opportunities to be able to serve God. Here,
He says, you shall receive power if the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Listen, you can't receive the Holy Spirit of God and not be a witness of Jesus Christ. It is impossible. The two go hand in hand. He says, you shall receive the Holy Spirit, and ye shall be witnesses. So once we have the Spirit of God living inside of us, and He's given us His Spirit, it will give us the boldness to go and reach everybody else with the gospel. He'll give us the boldness to be a witness. But not only has He given us His Spirit, over in 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, we just finished our study in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, the Bible tells us that He has given us the Scriptures as well. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse number 15, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Why were the Scriptures given? So that I could get saved. The Scriptures were given so that somebody else can get saved. We had an opportunity, Brother Thoreau, to go to that preacher's conference, preacher's meeting up in Beth Haven earlier this month. And we got to hear from a preacher, a brother, a ministry that Brother Carter has out of his church, and they call it Make-A-Way Ministry. And they are literally printing Bibles in the national language and national tongue of several different countries. But they're not just printing them here in America. They have literally gone to those countries, and they've built a printing station in those countries because it's easier to print the Bibles there, cheaper to print them there, and to give them out there than it is to print them here in America and then ship them over there with the risk of losing them with all the issues that we have with our freight carts. But here we heard about the Make-A-Way Ministry, and he has got an opportunity over in the Philippines to print the King James Bible, print the Word of God in the Filipino language, and he's going to give it to every single military man and woman that's there in the Philippines. They've got a contract with the government. These are places that are willingly open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has given us the Scriptures. God has given us the opportunity to reach people with the gospel. We just got to go and do it. We support a missionary right now in Vanuatu, the Meads. Y'all saw him. We discussed him. They were here with us November of 2024, I believe. And they were here with us, and they share with us. They've been translating the Word of God into the language of the Vanuatuan people. It's a long process because they didn't have even an alphabet, a written language at all. But they're in the process of translating the Word of God for them. Why? So they can have the gospel in their language. See, there are churches right now that are being destroyed in the country of China. And there are Chinese people right now. I've watched video after video after video online of Chinese national that has gotten the Word of God, and they just kiss the Bible when they receive it because they finally have the Bible in their language. I've seen video after video different Chinese people that have just a couple of pages of the Word of God, and they hold them tightly to their chest. They don't want to lose them. They cherish the Word of God. We've got 17 copies. Each of us. I've got 10 Bibles in my office. I've got multiple Bibles at home. I've got the Bible on my phone. Most of you have the Bible on your phone today. We have the Bible everywhere. But what do we do with it? What are we doing with it? God's given us His Spirit. God has given us His Scriptures. These Scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, we can hold up the Bible, and we can say we got the Bible all day long, but if we're not taking this Bible and sharing it with those that are around us, how are they ever going to hear the gospel message? The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The only way they're going to get saved is we got to take the gospel to them. That's our responsibility. Here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God, listen, is not just a tool that's used for salvation, but it is the tool that's used to instruct us on how to live after we've gotten saved. It perfects us. It completes us. It furnishes us to do everything God's commanded us to do. Here we've got to finish what Christ initiated. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us the Scriptures. Go to Romans chapter 10. I just quoted it to you a minute ago. Romans chapter 10, verse number 14. I quoted you verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But if you look at verse number 14, listen, we go to Romans chapter 10 often when we go to the plan of salvation, when we go to lead somebody to Christ. And we like to quote Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love that verse. I love to put my name there. I love to put other people's names there. For Terry shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For Heather shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter who they are. All they got to do is call upon the name of the Lord. All they got to do is trust Christ for salvation. But verse 14 says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How are they going to call on somebody if they don't even believe that He exists? And how should they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? How are they going to believe in Him if they've never heard His name? And then it says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear if we don't go? How are they going to hear if we don't send somebody to go? See, God has given us the Spirit. God has given us the Scriptures. But God has also given us the solution. How are we going to finish what He initiated? How are we going to reach the world of the gospel? He's given us the solution. Listen, God doesn't ask a question without ever giving the answer. God doesn't give us a problem without telling us how to work it. God always gives us the solution. And here, the solution is we've got to go and share the gospel with them. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Go to verse 15. This is where we come in. And how shall they preach? Except they be sent. This is why we send missionaries. We send them to go in our stead. Listen, God hasn't called me to the mission field. God's called me to McAllister, Oklahoma. God's called me to be a pastor of this church. God has called me here, but I desire to go to other places. I desire to go and reach the world with the gospel. But listen, I can't go there. God's called me here. So what do? We support missionaries through our Faith Promise Missions Commitment. Why? So that they can be sent and they can go to places that we can't go. Listen, God's called us to be here. God has our families here. God wants us to reach our people that are here. But that doesn't negate us from the responsibility of reaching the rest of the world with the gospel. We've got to reach everybody that we can. How do we do that? Through Faith Promise Missions. I've heard it said, my pastor growing up used to always say, a Faith Promise Missions conference is the church in a business meeting deciding the fate of the heathen around the world. We're in a business meeting deciding, are we going to give so that they can hear? Now, when you begin to look at it like that, it really puts things into perspective. Am I going to give so that somebody can hear? Or am I going to not give and them never have an opportunity? Look at the flags around here. There's different countries. We got Kenya right there. We got a missionary over there. There's Jamaica right there. The one with the X, the yellow and the green and the black. We don't have a missionary there. But there's people that need the gospel. We got Brazil right there with the diamond, the yellow, green, the blue. We got Brazil. We got a missionary over in Brazil right now. But Brazil's a huge country. Brazil has two capitals. It's a big country. We need more than one missionary over there. Listen, we've got plenty of places in the world that need the gospel. We got China right there. We don't support a missionary in China. We got countries all over the world that need the gospel message. There's New Zealand right there. We got a missionary in Vanuatu that travels to New Zealand. We've got to reach the world with the gospel. We got Germany right there. My wife was born there. Both throws men there. Amen. Good people that are there. But people that are dying without Christ nonetheless. They need Jesus. We've got to share the gospel with them. God has given us the Spirit. He's given us the Scriptures. He's given us the solution. And the solution is us to be soul winning here. As it was stated, there's three types of missionaries you can be. You can be a go missionary, where you go and churches send you. And we're going to talk about that tonight in Acts chapter number 13, the church sending missionaries out and the church reaching the world with the gospel. Y'all come back and hear about that. You can be a go missionary. You can be a co-missionary. You say, well, God's called me here and I'm going in my town, but I'm going to partner so that somebody else can go in my stead. And then also, you can be a no missionary. You say, well, that's just not for me. Well, that's why you have staff. That's what the church is for. That's why I tithe. Listen, that's not why you tithe. We give to missions so that we can reach the world with the gospel. You tithe so we can pay the bills of the church. That's how that works. That there may be meat in mine house is what the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3. Our missions is supposed to go to local missions and foreign missions. It's supposed to go to our bus ministry and the ministries that we have in the church, but it's supposed to go to reaching the world with the gospel. That's what missions is supposed to go for. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to take on more and more missionaries, and we're trying to reach more and more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's what God's left us here to do. There was a missionary who said, his name is Will McRaney. You've probably never heard of him. He said, we cannot harvest where no seed has been planted. Now, some of you planted gardens before. You can't just go out and say, well, I'm going to go pick some tomatoes today. Pray tell me, please, when did you plant the tomatoes? When did you work the garden? I'm just going to go out. I'm going to go pick these tomatoes. They're just going to be there. No, there's got to be seed that's planted. And listen, we can't reap the harvest of souls being saved if we're not sending the seed out to them. If we're not sending people to go and to bear the precious seed of the Word of God. Amy Carmichael, she was a missionary lady to the country of India many, many years ago. She said, we have all eternity to celebrate the victories, but we only have a few hours before sunset to win them. Listen, we're going to have all of eternity to rejoice in heaven about the droves and droves of people that we're able to see win with the gospel message. And the people that we're going to be able to meet in heaven that were saved because of our missions dollars that we gave so that somebody could go. And you're going to spend all of eternity meeting those folks. But listen, we only have a short time here on earth to win them to Christ. We only have a short time here to reach them with the gospel message. Brother Thoreau, I've heard it said, and I don't know who said it, but I've heard it said that the average American Christian in church only gives a penny a day to global missions. That's all the churches in the world, all the Christians that are in the churches. You divide out all the amount of money that's going to missions. That's not even a drop in the bucket. What can I do for missions? You can give. So that somebody can go. If you don't want to go, you can give so that somebody can go. You say, well, how can I give? I'm strapped. I'm tight. I'm living on a budget already. Listen, you pray and you fast and you beg God to provide you money and you by faith promise to give that. And you watch what God does in your life. I can tell you story after story after story of how my wife and I have faithfully given our tithes. We've faithfully given our mission. That's the first two things that come off our check every week. First two things, every single time. And God has always provided for us. Have there been times where we've had to work multiple jobs? Yeah, we have, because of our own doings. Amen. Because we have expenses that we want. We have things that we want to do. We have debt that we have incurred. God didn't give it to us. We did that ourselves. Have there been times where we've had to go and do different things? Yes, there have been. But there's time after time after time where we've walked into our pantry and it's been filled because people have given. Because God has blessed us. I don't know how it's been provided. I don't know how God works. There have been time after time after time where somebody would call us and say, hey, do you have anything planned for dinner tonight when you go out to eat with us? And they provide a meal. They don't know what our finances are like. They don't know what's going on in our lives. But you know what? God does. And what does God do? God provides through working things out in our lives. He increases our income. He decreases our expenses. He works miracles. He teaches us how to give sacrificially. I could tell you story after story after story of things that I've heard from different folks, how God has allowed different things to happen in their lives. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you have walked just across the road or in town or anywhere, and you've seen money lying on the ground and you picked it up. Most of us, we walk and we see money lying on the ground all the time. Okay? Years ago, there was somebody I knew. And she said that she would pick up every single penny. And she looked like a poor woman that had just dropped her purse everywhere she went. You know, she's always picking up random coins off the ground. She said she would pick up a penny or pick up a coin, any one that she saw. And she would take it home and she would put it in this big canister. And she would pray for her future spouse. And she said what her goal was
by the time that she got married, she wanted to be able to tell her spouse, say, hey, these are all the times that I prayed for you. Now, let's turn that around. That's something, yeah, that's pretty cool. Let's turn that to missions, though. How about we go around, we pick up every little thing that we see. We pray for that missionary. We say, I'm going to give this to missions. I'm going to give this to missions. And then we pray and we beg God to provide in a myriad of ways. Listen, there have been times, my wife and I, where we've seen at the end of the year, we paid in too much on our escrow for our mortgage. And we got a check back. Now, that hasn't happened in a very long time. Okay, but it happened the first few years after we bought our house. And we got an extra check. You know what it was? God providing missions. God providing funds that were needed. I can't tell you miracle after miracle after miracle, provision after provision after provision, that God will provide if you'll just be willing to give to their power. I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. They were willing of themselves. Here the church in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, they were willing to give a lot, but they only had a little. It's like the widow and the two mites. I only have this. God multiplied. It's the boy and the five loaves and two fish. I only have this, God. What did he do? He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it. Brother Anthony didn't finish telling that story. A little boy runs home in Sunday school. He tells his mom of the miracle that God did. Mama didn't believe the miracle. And back come the 12 disciples following him with each basket. Being overwhelmed by the miracle of what God had provided. The provision. And I can tell you the story in the Old Testament of Elijah and the Shunammite woman. The woman at Zarephath, sorry, where she had given. She was about to bake a cake for her and her son and they were going to die. He said, no, bake me a cake first. She said, I don't have an extra cake to bake. He said, do it first and God will provide the rest. Every time she opened up that cruse of oil, every time she dipped into that barrel of meal, there was enough provision every single day God provided for her. What did she do? She gave to her power and God gave beyond her power. All throughout the Word of God, you see it time and again. We shared story after story after story. I can go to a myriad of places where God has blessed because of that. But I can also go to place after place where God provides different things and we choose to neglect the promise that we've made and then God takes with interest from us the curses that come in our lives. We can look at the life of David, how he had stolen something that was not his and he had to pay back fourfold. We can look at the life of Jonah and how he ran from the will of God. Ultimately, did God bless and did souls get saved? Yes. But the change in his personal life and in his physical attributes lasted the rest of his life. You can't live inside the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights and not have your skin ate up with acid. Because there's acid on the inside of the stomach. And he had the physical effects of rejecting God. I can tell you a story in Genesis chapter 32 of Jacob when he wrestled with God and God touched the hollow of his thigh and he walked with a limp the rest of his life. Because of how when we don't do what God tells us to do, it'll take an effect on the rest of your life. But if we follow God by faith and we trust God by faith and we do what God says, guess what? That'll have an effect on the rest of your life too. In the positive. You see, everyone here has a decision to make of whether or not they're going to get involved in the mission of the church. And we're going to make a decision on whether or not you're going to partner with missionaries to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every year we pray for 100% involvement. And we pray for 100% of those people that make commitments to keep 100% of their commitments. 100% across the board. Everybody make a commitment. Everybody keep your commitment. If everybody does that, we'll be able to continue to take on missionary after missionary after missionary. I would love any missionary that would call. I've got a stack of prayer letters on my desk right now of missionaries that we do not support. I would love to take them all on. I would love to partner with church planners right now sitting on my desk. I got stacks of them. I've got emails of stuff that I haven't printed off yet. Missionaries that we don't support asking for bookings. There's a need. There are people trying to go. All we got to do is partner with them. All we got to do is give so they can go. In reality, Brother Nick,
We got the easy part. We're not having to apply for visas. We're not having to move our family to another country. We're not having to travel around and raise support. We get the easy part. We give so they can go. That's the easy part. The question is, what are you going to decide? The question is, are you going to get involved in the mission of the church? Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed this morning. What are we going to do in regards to missions? Faith Promise Missions is my faith reaching God's heart in return to salvation, reaching the world. Missions, reaching the world with the gospel by giving and by going. We give so others can go. Maybe there's somebody in here that doesn't want to get involved in missions because you've never experienced salvation. You've never received the Holy Ghost, so you can't be a witness. I want to urge you and stress this morning, please come and receive Christ. Get involved in His program and what He has for us. But as a church, you be praying about what God would have you do in regards to this area of missions. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for the truths of the Word of God. Help us. We need You.